What you claim to be true can help you. So we have an affirmation of faith each Sunday, and this one from 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, the 4 through 6 verses. God, our Savior, wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. The reading of God's word today is from John's Gospel in the 8th chapter, beginning the 27th verse, going all the way through the 47th verse. So hang on for this. It's a long one. Jesus is speaking, and is speaking in front of several, a few different groups of people, and I'll cover that in the message. They did not understand that Jesus was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I saw an interesting article this past week which finally prompted me to get busy on this week's sermon. The article this week that got my attention was entitled, "Five Things That Made Jesus Angry." The whole article title is this, "Five Things That Made Jesus Angry and Why Christians Need to Stop Being So Angry." Come to find out, we Christians are not always angry about the same things Jesus got angry about. We Christians today get angry over things that Jesus did not get angry about. So, the author suggested, maybe we need to cool our heels and focus more on what made Jesus angry. Sounds like a sermon, doesn't it? Yes, but that's not the one for today. But the topic did prompt me to get this week's sermon done. So the topic I was given weeks ago is the topic of lying, telling lies. Our Lord Jesus only makes one reference to lies in all the gospel record, and you have heard it read. John 8:44, You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. At the time that Jesus was speaking, Jesus' audience included some of Jesus' followers, a crowd, and some Pharisees present there. It appears that the Pharisees present were questioning Jesus' authority. They were questioning Jesus' kinship. When Jesus claimed, I have come from the Father in heaven. So Jesus says, you want to talk about kinship? I will tell you. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. I have surmised that the Lord gave me this topic on lying because in our country today, we are all having some trouble with the truth. I have become very disappointed that the internet, what was once called the information superhighway, and was first developed for the purpose of scientists and doctors to share research, the information superhighway has become the disinformation superhighway. These days, the so-called information superhighway has huge potholes, wrong turns, detours, and signs that point people to nowhere. It is now even used by ISIS to radicalize U.S. citizens to join them in their deviltry. I suppose I should not be surprised because of what happened to television. Like television that could have brought us Shakespeare and great plays, great film, the arts, musicals, and opera, instead we have gotten soap opera, South Park, and Keeping Up with the Kardashians. It should be simple to talk about the truth, but the Bible tells us that when the truth, Jesus Christ, was standing right in front of people, they wouldn't accept it. Now, having said that, there are a few other references to lying in the New Testament, and I will get to those. But let's begin this discussion with what a lie actually is. A lie is a statement or utterance in order to speak falsely or utter untruth knowingly, as with intent to deceive, to express what is false. So if you forget the truth, or think you remember the truth correctly, but don't remember it, say your wedding anniversary, for example, and I insist this example is not based in actual fact, but if you don't remember some truth correctly, like your wedding anniversary, it isn't a lie. You did not state your wedding anniversary incorrectly, knowing it was wrong. Nor did you give the wrong date of your anniversary with an intent to deceive whoever you were talking to. We just pray that you were not talking to your wife. However, we do have to make clear that you stated an untruth in stating the wrong date for your wedding anniversary. You stated something that was not true. You said you were married on a certain day, and you were not. But you did not lie about your wedding day. You had no intention to deceive. You may have had an intent to get in trouble, however. Are we clear on that? And we understand that the Bible and Jesus stand against lying. Now, things get murky from here, because the additional definition of lying is to give an utterance or statement that you know is untrue in order to convey a false impression. This is where it gets sticky. Some people might think that I'm a nice person, but I'm not. Probably that isn't the right thing to say as pastor of a congregation. But I've read the Bible. The Bible's about human beings. They lie, rob, steal, commit murder, and worse. And I am a human being. I am a sinner. However, I do, as a follower of Jesus Christ, attempt to give the impression that I am a nice person. To put it one way, I'm not a nice person, but I'm working on it, and I believe that the Lord is also working in my life to make me more like Jesus. Or, as I hope you can quote me as saying, I'm not a good person, but Jesus makes me do good things. But when I attempt to give you the impression I am a good person, am I lying? I'm attempting to present to you something other than what I am. What I am is a mixed bag, and I only show you the good stuff. Does that make me a hypocrite? No. Hypocrisy is a word from the theater in the ancient world, where people wore actual masks upon the stage. But no one on the stage actually believed they were the characters that they portrayed. A person who believed they were the characters they portrayed, that would be a hypocrite. The indictment Jesus gives to some of the Pharisees is that some of the Pharisees did believe they were, in fact, the men they attempted to portray. Some of the Pharisees wanted to present themselves as ritually pure, but Jesus called them whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. And of course, a dead body is most unclean in Jewish purity practice. One of my favorite films, and I watch it every Christmas time, is Miracle on 34th Street, and I like the 1947 version, where the main character goes by the name Kris Kringle and claims that he really is Santa Claus. He winds up being hauled into court for insanity. Is the man Kris Kringle lying about his identity? Well, he's not lying about his identity if he really is Santa Claus. I can identify as a Christian, call myself one, but I do some things that some people might say is not Christian. Maybe I should qualify my statement and say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a very good Christian. Then it would look less like hypocrisy, because I know all about myself. I'm not identifying with being a Christian. I'm only identifying with wanting to be a Christian. You know that hymn that's in our hymnal. I don't like the tune, but the words are great. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Because I do. Sometimes I can act like a Christian, but I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want my actions to flow naturally from me and from what's inside me. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. The second verse, Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. Third verse, Lord, I want to be more holy. And the last verse, Lord, I want to be more like Jesus in my heart. If churches sang this every Sunday, maybe others would stop calling us hypocrites. The hymn says we want to be better at being a Christian. then outsiders could stop calling Christians hypocrites. And the worst they could say about us is, we're not trying very hard to be Christians, or we're not very good at being Christian. And I suppose if they wanted to indict the Lord himself, they could say, well, he's not transforming you fast enough. Perhaps it's like saying you are a graduate or that you are still a student, because they are not the same thing. A graduate has completed the studies and demonstrates some competence in the areas of study. A student is still learning the material. The word disciple means that we are still students, learners, followers. You recall, of course, that Christians got that name, Christian, from others. It wasn't a name they called themselves. They called themselves followers of the way, Jesus' way. Or maybe I should say, someday I hope to be a real follower of Jesus Christ, because there are days when I'm not very good at it. It's like Pinocchio. He hoped someday to be a real boy. Someday, I hope to be a true follower of Jesus. But until then, the Lord is still transforming me. I'm not lying about that. I've told you I never wanted to live in a small town in this state. I've lived in this small town in this state for 32 years. Am I lying? No. I'm just not very good at living somewhere else. My higher value is doing what God wants. If God wants me to stay here, then I stay here. But please don't assume that living here 32 years was my plan all along. Many people see me go running for my exercise. Many people might wrongly assume that I enjoy running. No. I enjoy the higher benefits of running for my brain and my heart and my lungs. Am I giving a false impression? Am I attempting to deceive people? It seems to me that the person forming the impression, the person who wrongly assumes that I enjoy running, is in the wrong. They have made wrong assumptions about my behavior. Those people have come to the wrong conclusion. Should I say that I am a runner? I do run, but I'm not very good at it. Remember that line from the film, The Wizard of Oz? Dorothy calls out the man posing as the wizard and says, "You are a very bad man." And he says, "No, I'm a good man, but I'm just a very bad wizard." You see how our own judgments play havoc with what is actually true. You see how our own judgments play havoc with what is actually true, even when the truth is right in front of us, even as the truth was standing right in front of those same Pharisees. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth." So it seems to me that the closer to Jesus we can make ourselves, the closer to the truth we will be. One of my professors autographed a book he had authored to me, saying to Gary, "Who may be closer to the truth than when he began." Amen? Isn't that where we all want to be? Closer to the truth than when we began? So there's the problem of our own judgments. There's another problem. Human beings like to lie. We actually enjoy it. It's exciting. It sets off places in our brain that nothing else does. Lying and deception are forms of entertainment for us. magicians. We give trophies at folk festivals to those who spin the best tall tale, and the winner's ribbon on that tall tale trophy says, biggest liar. We learn to lie early on, and we enjoy it. As a matter of fact, the bigger and bolder the lie or the liar, the more intrigued we are. Bernie Madoff was a liar, right? Some counterfeiters and con men are so good at lying, the government has hired them to work for the government in uncovering lies, bluffs, counterfeits, and impersonators. Isn't the whole James Bond thriller industry, which has been cranking out films for 50 years, isn't it all based on a secret service, the basis of which is that the person is not who they appear to be? Maybe that's what original sin is. We just find lies and deception so darn entertaining. We also can find lying helpful. I have been suggesting that I dabble in attempting to give a good impression. Little did I know that my dentist knew all along I was not flossing every day, and he knew it the whole time. But I more seriously lie for the purpose of helping other people, sometimes keeping confidences or upholding my role as pastor, or to avoid being rude. The Bible does say to speak the truth in love. The Bible does not say speak the truth with a big stick, or speak the truth with the fires of hell, for that matter. My sources say that there are few people like me, that as few as 6% of all lies are for avoiding being rude or giving the impression that we actually do floss our teeth every day. The largest percentage of lies for the purpose of protecting us ourselves. The largest percentage of lies are for the purpose of protecting ourselves. We use lies to protect ourselves, mostly covering up a mistake or misdeed, or promoting ourselves for our own advantage. Like Bernie Madoff, the man who swindled more money than any one person in U.S. history. Now, you good folks would not know this next fact, but I tell this fact to people who are going to get married. Which topic is lied about in a marriage more than any other topic? Which topic is lied about in marriage more than any other topic? It's money. You see, usually it's hard for us to be honest about what we have spent, even to be honest and share that honesty with our spouses. But I think we know that the Bible values the truth, the Bible condemns lying, but here is something we often miss. The sin of lying isn't just because it's wrong. The sin of lying isn't just wrong because God said it's wrong, although that's enough. The sin of lying and deception is that lying works against community. Lying makes relationship impossible. God wants us to have relationships. If someone lies, it makes it hard to work together with that person, doesn't it? It's very difficult to have any kind of relationship with a liar. If we go back to my problem of calling myself a Christian, if you watch me long enough, you will come to the conclusion that, well, that Gary McManus, he really does want to do the right thing. That Gary McManus really seems to want to be truthful, and he really seems to want to follow Jesus. Then we can have a relationship. I remember once someone was critical of me because I seemed to be trying too hard. And I thought, friend, you have no idea. Do you realize how much work it takes for me just to get ready to get out my door every morning? I remember another young man who distrusted me because I weighed my words carefully. He assumed my hesitation in speaking was due to deception. He did not know that my hesitation in speaking was in order that I could speak kindly to him. I didn't want to be rude. What does that bumper sticker say? Jesus loves you and I'm trying to. Friends, you don't want the first words that would come out of my mouth. You want my measured words. That's wisdom. The right word at the right time to the right person. To speak any wisdom, even simple wisdom, takes time. And it takes timing. The Bible says, be slow to speak. James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If I were a real follower of Jesus, I might have had the wisdom to quote that verse to that young man years ago when he suggested I was trying to deceive him. But maybe I wasn't standing close enough to Jesus at the time to have that verse to hand. I was told once that to be good at golf, you have to remember about 40 different pointers while you're playing golf, and I don't play golf. I have trouble enough remembering all my pointers to get ready for me to get out my door. But if we cannot be honest in the church, then the church cannot be a community of believers. That's why sexual sins are so destructive. Sexual sins almost always involve lying. The lying on top of the deception and the broken relationships further breaks down all relationships. We can't be God's people and lie to each other because we'll never stay in a relationship. In fact, with lies, you can't have a relationship. This can be a difficult idea to get across to children. By the way, sometimes kids will say they don't know why they lied about something. Science says they may have the reasons hidden, even from themselves. They had deceived themselves. It's a part of growing up. But 7% of all lies fit this category, including adults. Being able to deceive ourselves and not even knowing why we may have lied. Now, I did mention that there are other verses in the New Testament on lying. Remember, the Bible was written before the Bible. That is, there was an Old Testament, but there was a church already established and in existence before all the ink was used to write the New Testament. So one aspect of the truth that was really important was what the church claimed was true about Jesus and who Jesus was. And that had not yet all been written down. So in 1 Timothy we read, the Spirit clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. And it goes on to say, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. In different instances, for some reason, the Apostle Paul had to make claim in writing to two congregations that he was indeed telling the truth about what he said. Someone wanted to claim that the Apostle Paul was a liar. The letter to the Ephesians says, speak the truth in love. Friends, be aware of Jesus' promise to make you into a new person who can focus on whatever is true. Be aware that as a sinner saved by grace, that there is a part of you that loves lies. Do not indulge that side of you. So we close with the blessing of the apostle. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen.